Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
He went out there and found me in some old distant barren place, and like a, you know, like a transplant, he pulled me out of that field that would never do anything, and he came and planted me by the house of God. That's what it means when you read Psalm 1 and 3. Don't go there, just stay here. Psalm 1 and 3, when he said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That word planted is actually transplanted, because they would go out and find beautiful plants and bring them and replant them by the tabernacle of the Lord, or the temple of God. Oh, plant me, Lord, by the temple of God. Plant me by your holy house. And let my roots grow deep, so that when offenses come, they're going to come. They are going to come. Somebody's going to make you mad. Somebody is going to upset you. Somebody's going to put you in tears. Somebody's going to make you clench your fist and want to give them the fivefold ministry. Offenses are going to come. But great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I think what is probably more reliable about that text is that even when offenses come, because you have peace with God, they don't stay. They don't even get to be a guest in the guest house. You just move on down the road. We don't need you around here. He's God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all. Savor his blessings. Savor his blessings. I see Sister Hale in here, and my mother-in-law, she could preach this point better than I can. How she was raised as a child, and how awesome it was to get one gift or one thing and savor it. How many of you could relate to that? Now, maybe not. And I'm not here to throw stones at you. If you got everything under the Christmas tree when you were a kid growing up, that's not the point. The point is, I got this gift of the Holy Ghost. I savor it. It's not like anything in the world. You can have all the success and achievement in the world, but this is nothing like the blessing of God. Nothing like knowing when I lay down with my head on the pillow at night, and having sought the Lord and kept my flesh in an altar of repentance, that should the trumpet of the Lord sound, I'm getting out of this world. I'm leaving this old cruel, corrupt, carnal world behind for something far better than I could ever have in achievement, success, or riches on this side of eternity. Is this helping anybody? So I want you to get back to savoring that one verse in the scripture that keeps you from going over the edge. I want you to learn to savor the gift of the Holy Ghost that allows you to come into the presence of God today and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. That you are a resident of His presence. That you are a dwelling place for the glory of the Lord. That you house His holiness. That is a privilege, and I savor it. You picked me? Really? You ever been in a pickup basketball game, and you were the little 12-year-old on the basketball court, and all the other 18-year-olds were standing there, and they're picking teams? Yeah, well, I'll take Joe. I'll take John. I'll take Fred, and I'll take Frank. I don't know. They pick them all but you, right? Because you're the 12-year-old. They don't know if you're good or not. You may have a crossover like Kyrie Irving. Y'all don't even know who that is, do you? They don't know. They're just assuming. But when you came to the kingdom of God, here you were. You'd been shrunken by sin and deformed by transgression and corrupted and scarred by all the mistakes of sin and iniquity in your life. And the Lord said, I'll take that one. And all the angels that stand head and shoulders above you looking around going, what? Yeah, I'll take that one. Watch what I do when I wash them with my blood and fill them with my spirit and give them a testimony that can turn the world upside down. Savor the blessings of God. Hold it dear. We hold in this earthen vessel what? Treasure. Treasure. Stop treating the goodness of God in your life like it's just garbage or a perishable or some little old styrofoam cup that you got a drink out of and you're going to throw it over in the trash bin. No, you have a treasure in you. Savor it. Don't come around here devil soliciting. Don't come around here trying to sell me your goods. Don't come around here trying to persuade me to walk away from God. This is too dear. Praise God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Wow, we're just barely getting into this. Look at what he's done. Where else could I find forgiveness but in the blood of Jesus and in the word of God? Because no matter how many books you read in the world and no matter how many therapy sessions you go to and no matter how many times you try to achieve it in a worldly sense, because forgiveness can be a powerful thing even if it's in the flesh, but there is no forgiveness that can compare to that forgiveness which delivers you from sin. Because there is no humanistic plot or plan or scheme or strategy or self-help pattern or education or degrees or whatever you can learn. You can't get enough secular counsel to give you the kind of forgiveness you get for God. Because only the blood of Jesus can save. And then on top of the forgiveness, he healeth all thy diseases. People that are sitting in this room right now, you know you have been touched miraculously by the Lord. Some that wouldn't even be sitting here right now because your life would have been terminated. But the Lord stepped into that room and said, not today. I still have time and things for them to do. Savor that. I know what the Lord has done for me. So while I might be in a confusing time, while I might be in a fog of uncertainty, while I might be in the mystery land of not knowing exactly what the Lord is doing, if I'm in this delay or a time period or this long season of suffering and struggle, while I don't understand how long this is going to take, I still know he healeth all my diseases. Savor the blessings. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? And crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Wow, he just loading them on. I mean, I was good at forgiveness, but then he healed me. Then he redeemed my life from destruction. Then he crowned me. What did I deserve to be crowned? With loving kindness and tender mercies. Praise God. For the Lord executeth judgment and righteousness for all that are oppressed. We were under the thumb of darkness. Hell had its foot on our neck, and the captor in our prisons of captivity, he came in and said, not anymore. He led captivity captive, which were the Old Testament saints. And for those of us born again of water and of the Spirit, we live that spiritually right now. He led us out of the prisons of darkness. To live where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's literally a license to operate. My hands were bound. My vision was blind. My ears were deaf. I couldn't speak the good things of God. But when he filled me with the Holy Ghost, I am so now blessed and benefited by the Lord that I can do what I could never have done, say what I could never have said, see what I could never have seen, and go places I could never have gone because of his mercy and his love. Goes on to say, made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. For the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. That's a beautiful verse when you're talking about savoring the blessings. Yes, God does get upset with you, but he don't linger on it. God doesn't hold grudges. He has too much grace. He's just waiting for one moment, just one moment when you start your walk toward an altar, when you turn toward him in humility and repentance, when you have one act of contrition or one tear of godly sorrow that streams down that cheek, God is ready to bring deliverance and hope. This scripture right here is contrary to how defiant sinners and the rebellious of this hour want to paint God in a corner as if he is some tyrannical being just waiting for you to make a mistake and hit you with a thunderbolt. That is not the God that we serve. The book says he doesn't hold grudges. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You have a resume in your past that guarantees that you live forever in the darkness of hell without God. But he said, no, you see, they're coming to me. They're humbling themselves. I'm going to benefit them with forgiveness and healing and crowning of blessings after blessing. I'm going to stop their oppression. I'm going to show them mercy. I'm going to show them how much I have in my storehouse of grace and kindness and gentleness. He's plenteous in mercy. Not always. Hadn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high, next verse, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As the heaven is high, just think about just the sun. What is it, it's the moon that's 183,000 miles away. I forget how far the sun is away, but it's a long way out there. And the psalmist is saying, if you could measure that, God's mercy towards you is greater than that. That's a blessing worth savoring. I mean, the next time you start thinking, well, I just don't know if God can get me through this, just look up at the sun and look up how many miles that sun is away from us. And that is not even the most distant star. That's just the sun in our galaxy. Millions and millions and millions of light years away. He said, as high as the heaven. He just keep on going. Just keep on moving past the stratosphere and moving past the other spheres, the mesosphere, and just keep on going. Just keep on going out there as far and high as you can, because you cannot measure the mercy of God with human measurements. And then he said, well, that's not all. You think that's a benefit and a blessing worth savoring? He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So now if I go vertical and go way up there, I can't measure his mercy. But now if Brother Rucker and I were to stand, come here just for a moment, if we were to stand back to back, so I think this is west, this is heading toward the mountains, and that's east, so start walking. So every day I walk with God, I get further and further. As far as the east is from the west, in other words, it's immeasurable, because you can just keep going and going and going and going. Praise God. Thank you, brother. You got further than I did. That's a good walk. We're just burning calories. That's how far he removed our transgressions from us. So that's why it's good. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's like walking west with the Word and letting your iniquities go east. Go east. Just keep on going. Let's keep on going that way. I'm going to get further and further distance from my failure. Don't let your past act like it's still on your heels. You're walking with God. That's a benefit of the Lord. You have been blessed. Savor this blessing that God has put distance between you and the terrible choices that you've made in your life and consequences that you've had to suffer in your flesh. And yet beyond all of that, God has given you an immortal promise that one day this old corrupt body is going to get to make an exchange. The problem is that people that want permissive grace, they stay over here and they turn around and go back east. Go west, young man. Go west. Keep walking with the word. Keep headed in that direction. Because it leads to godliness and it leads to a greater relationship with God and it leads to a better understanding of the love of God. How many have found that to be true? I feel like the Lord wants to put distance between you and your mistakes. And we live in a generation that has very little moral consciousness. And they're calling right wrong and wrong right. But that's not for a generation of the righteous. It's not for a generation of those that are seekers of God's goodwill. So you stay on a path of righteousness for his name's sake, savoring the blessing of his mercy and his forgiveness. Well, if you didn't get that, okay, the heaven's high, and as far as the east is from the west, like as a father, next verse, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Oh, you look at that little toddler of yours. Oh, did you scrape your knee? It's not even anything major. Okay, we know major things can happen, but in this context, it's not anything major. But the pity of the Lord, the pity of a father, the pity of a parent. Oh, come here. Did you get a boo-boo? Come here. And you treat that little scrape on the knee as if they cut their whole hand off. Think about that as your father in heaven. Oh, did the devil knock you down? Come here. Sit on daddy's lap for a minute. Let me comfort you. Let me strengthen you. Let me give you power to resist the devil. He ain't nothing. He don't have nothing in me. That's what Jesus said. He's a big old giant to you, but to me, he's a little old shrimp. He ain't even a shrimp. He can't even get above my heel. Like as a father pitieth his children. Boy, the Lord, he has pity for us. Wow. And the next time the devil tries to tell you, oh yeah, you serve God, how come he hadn't answered your prayer? You serve God, how come he hadn't been there for you? Serve God, no, what the devil's really asking is, you've got that one tree in the garden God hadn't tended to for you. Now, I don't want you to look at the hundreds of thousands of trees that have fruit on them. I want you to just look at this one thing that God hasn't done for you and get you focusing on that one thing that could be the trying of your faith. But you say, wait a minute. Have you seen what the Lord has done for me? Maybe I don't have that job yet, or maybe I don't have that cure yet, or maybe I don't, that particular area in my life that still haunts me and hurts me, maybe that particular area is still a bruise, but can I just tell you all the other things that God has done for me? Can I point out all the other places that God has fed me, strengthened me, helped me, loved me, given me mercy, pitied me? For he knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are dust. Now he took man. You watch God in his imagination as he comes down and the wind wisps through the dust and there's tiny little vortexes and God begins to mold the clay and then he sculpts it perfectly and creates a perfect jawline and in harmonious symmetry he creates the shoulders and the arms and the legs and the feet and how it will walk, but there's no form and it's lifeless. There's no power in it yet. Right now, it's just a dead sculpture. And he presses his fingers right there to where the eyes are going to be. He just pushes them in right there. And then he takes his finger and just draws a little half circle. He drew it in a smile. That's where the mouth will be. And then he hooked his fingers and he said, that's where the nose will be, right? It's the nostrils and the nose. And he created the ears and he's creating man. It's got muscles and membranes, got bones and a brain, and he's got from the ankles up to the eyelids. And then he creates veins. He puts veins in the body and he pours some kind of mysterious blue liquid into it until when it starts to bleed, it will turn red. And it's like, well, what's that all about? Because you can't get the blood of Jesus without the Spirit of God. But that's a whole nother deep revelation we'll get to later. It's the crimson blood of Jesus that saved us. Yet the divinity of blue, the blood in the veins, could not save us. It had to be bled. And it had to hit the oxygenated atmosphere in a spiritual realm where the Spirit breathes life. The Spirit breathes life. It's the Spirit and the blood. The Word had no power without the Spirit of God giving it power. They work together simultaneously. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, where were we at? He's forming his body. But it's just a form. Bible even said it had a form of godliness, but it denied the power thereof. Self-made religious idolatry can look holy and be quite persuasive and even pray longer than the true disciples of the Lord. But it has no power because it's lifeless. It doesn't have any blood in it. But he gave it blood and he created all of this, and then it raced to the mind of God and it come out of his mouth. It was a breath. Suddenly the eyelids started to blink and the heart thudded beneath the breastbone of the chest, and you started to see the slow rising and falling of the chest, because the Bible said God breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. He remembereth our frame. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. A man that thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing deceiveth himself, Galatians says. Because the next time you start feeling arrogant that you don't need God, just go outside and kick up some dirt and go, that's what God created me out of. I'm just dirt. Without his breath, I'm just dirt. But I savor the breath of a loving God and a living God who has quickened us by the Holy Ghost. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourisheth. Woo, look at me. And then what happens? And the wind passeth over it and it is gone. Goodbye. Paul said, life is but a vapor. You're here today, gone tomorrow. What you going to do with the short time you've been given, even if it's 100 years, if you were given a century to live, that's nothing compared to eternity. Savor the blessing that he breathed into your nostrils, the breath of life, to become a living soul. And then he breathed into your spiritual man's nostrils, the breath of life, to become an everlasting soul that would have everlasting life. I savor that. And I know he remembers how frail and weak and lowly I would be until he touched me. He quickened me. Those flowers come and the grass in the field comes, but it's gone. And the place thereof knoweth it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. How can you beat that? Not only is the blessing of God to be savored for you, but as you learn to savor what God has done for you, so your kids will learn to savor it. If you talk bad about the church, they're going to talk bad about the church. If you talk negative about God and what he ain't done for you, how do you think they're going to respond when affliction comes? But we've got kids in this church that love God and get down to these altars when an opening song begins in service, because it's a generational blessing.
Now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.